The Leopard Hunts in Darkness, the Ballantine series, book 4, written by Wilbur Smith and read by Elliot Chapman.
This small wind had traveled 1,000 miles and more, up from the great wastes of the Kalahari Desert, which the little yellow bushman called the Big Dry. Now when it reached the escarpment of the Zambezi Valley, it broke up into eddies and backlashes amongst the hills and the broken ground of the Rin. The bull elephant stood just below the crest of one of the hills, much too canny to silhouette himself on the skyline. His bulk was screened by the new growth of leaves on the Musasa trees, and he blended with the grey rock of the slope behind him. He reached up 20 feet and sucked the air into his wide, hair-rimmed nostrils, and then he rolled his trunk down and delicately blew into his own gaping mouth. The two olfactory organs in the overhang of his upper lip flared open like pink rosebuds, and he tasted the air. He tasted the fine peppery dust of the far deserts, the sweet pollens of 100 wild plants, the warm bovine stench of the buffalo herd in the valley below, the cool tang of the water pool at which they were drinking and wallowing. These and other scents he identified, and accurately he judged the proximity of the source of each odour. However, these were not the scents for which he was searching. What he sought was the other acrid, offensive smell which overlaid all the others. The smell of native tobacco smoke, mingled with the peculiar musk of the flesh-eater, rancid sweat in unwashed wool, of paraffin and carbolic soap and cured leather, the scent of man. It was there, as strong and close as it had been all the long days since the chase had begun. Once again the old bull felt the atavistic rage rising in him. Countless generations of his kind had been pursued by that odour. Since a calf he had learned to hate and fear it. Almost all his life he had been driven by it. Only recently there had been a hiatus in the lifelong pursuit and flight. For 11 years there had been a surcease, a time of quiet for the herds along the Zambezi. The bull could not know nor understand the reason that there had been a bitter civil war amongst his tormentors, war that had turned these vast areas along the south bank of the Zambezi into an undefended buffer zone, too dangerous for ivory hunters or even for the game rangers whose duties included the cull of surplus elephant populations. The herds had prospered in those years, but now the persecution had begun again with all the old implacable ferocity. With the rage and terror still upon him, the old bull lifted his trunk again and sucked the dreaded scent into the sinuses of his bony skull. Then he turned, and moving silently, he crossed the rocky ridge, a mere greyish blur for an instant against the clear blue of the African sky. Still carrying the scent, he strode down to where his herd was spread along the back slope. There were almost 300 elephants scattered amongst the trees. Most of the breeding cows had calves with them, some so young that they looked like fat little piglets, small enough to fit under their mother's bellies. They rolled up their tiny trunks into their foreheads and craned upwards to the teats that hung on swollen dugs between the dam's front legs. The older calves cavorted about, romping and playing noisy tag, until in exasperation one of their elders would tear a branch from one of the trees and, wielding it in his trunk, lay about him, scattering the importunate youngsters in squealing mock consternation. The cows and young bulls fed with unhurried deliberation, working a trunk deep into a dense, fiercely thorned thicket to pluck a handful of ripe berries, then place them well back in the throat, like an old man swallowing aspirin, or using the point of a stained ivory tusk to loosen the bark of a Musasa tree, and then strip 10 feet of it and stuff it happily beyond the drooping triangular lower lip, or raising their entire bulk on their back legs like a begging dog to reach up with outstretched trunk to the tender leaves at the top of a tall tree, or using a broad forehead and 4 tons of weight to shake another tree until it tossed and whipped and released a shower of ripe pods. Further down the slope, 2 young bulls had combined their strength to topple a 60-footer whose top leaves were beyond even their long reach. As it fell with a crackle of tearing fibres, the herd bull crossed the ridge, and immediately the happy uproar ceased abruptly, to be replaced by quiet that was startling in its contrast.